All right. Hello. Good to see everybody. Welcome to RUF Large Group. If this is your first time here, so glad you're here tonight. So we gather every week here and have this main assumption about God, and it's this, that we believe you're never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace, and you're never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. We say that every week because we strive to be a community that rests here, that rests on the grace of Jesus towards us. Regardless of where you're coming from, whatever background you're from, whatever it is that you're coming in with, maybe you've had a great week, maybe you've had a really hard week. We want this to be a place you can come, ask real questions about Scripture, real questions about God, and be with a community of people that can know you and love you. And so that's our aim here in RUF. This semester, we are looking at the Psalms. And one aspect about God that we believe from the Psalms is that, for one, he's a relational God. He desires for us to know him and bring our whole selves before him, including all of our emotions. So the Psalms, they serve sort of as a vehicle for us to bring, in particular, really hard emotions that you all experience. I don't know if you've ever been in church and you felt like, I can't really express what I'm really dealing with. And the Psalms are actually proof that God wants you to do that in worship. He's okay with it. It's actually good for you to do that. But the Psalms also point to the fact that God is an emotional God. He's a God that expresses himself. He does emotions perfectly. And so we desire to not only bring our emotions that we struggle with, but we also learn from a God who knows emotions much better than we do. And he knows your emotions much better than you do. And so we want to learn how we can be shaped through his word in dealing with our emotions. And so that's been our aim this semester. This week, we're talking about anger, feeling anger, which can be a really hard thing to feel. What do we do with our anger? So a couple of weeks ago, some of us traveled to Dallas, and I rented a vehicle for the trip. And it's probably, for lack of a better term, the bougiest vehicle I have ever driven in my entire life. It had the touch screens all over it. There was one in the front and the back. There were cameras that showed me all around the vehicle. The internet was in the vehicle. There was actually little massage chairs in the front seats. Brianna got to partake in the massage chair as a passenger. And so we're driving along the road, and I'm sort of zoning out a little bit. And all of a sudden, we just hear this little alarm go off in the car. Y'all remember this? We hear this alarm go off in the car, and we're like, what the heck is that? And someone suggested actually that it was a bomb. I think James suggested maybe it was a bomb that we needed to check out, that it was planted. But we did away with that option. It was not a bomb. But what I think happened was I was speeding pretty fast. I was going 95 miles an hour. I was going too fast in this car. And the car was so smart that the car just gave an alarm that was Davis, slow down. So I quickly responded by slowing down towards the speed limit. And this signal is often how anger serves us. We try to avoid anger sometimes because we inherently think it's bad. It's why we say words I'm just frustrated, or, I'm just annoyed, rather than just saying, you know what, I'm just flat out angry. Because it's easier to say those things rather than to actually name that you're angry. And the question is not if you feel anger, but when, right? The question is often, what do I do when I feel angry? How do I respond? Because when the signal in the car came, I could have just ignored it, continue about my 95 mile per hour speed, but I chose to respond differently, which I think was good. I needed to have safety. And so I listened to the signal and slowed down. And so when it comes to feeling anger, this is what I want us to look at today, using Psalm 58. the context of this psalm is someone who is really angry. He's angry about what is going on. He's angry about what he's going through. And the question I want us to ask is, what do we do when we feel angry? How do we respond to this signal of anger? So let's read Psalm 58 together. Psalm 58. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No. In your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter. Oh God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear off the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Let's pray together. God, we come to you as people that experience all kinds of things, unpleasant emotions, anger, and often we don't know what to do with it. And we thank you that you give us your word that allows us to be able to freely speak anger and hard things to you. God, these are hard sayings. I ask that you teach us, you show us. How do we deal with this? How do we wrestle with you when it comes to these unpleasant feelings and these unpleasant thoughts and just our experience of anger? We need you, Lord. Be with us during this time. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so first, what is anger? The core question that I think if you were really to ask, like when you are angry, the core question that you ask, I think, is this. Is God really just? Like if there is a God, is he really just? Will he let wickedness win and overtake me? Like, that's the question we're asking when we're angry. Do I need to take vengeance into my own hands? Do I need to deal with this injustice? One author defines anger as our response to an assault. Like, it's the feeling that you get when you feel under attack and experience injustice. The more perceived injustice, the more angry you get. Like when you get that paper assigned the week before spring break. Maybe some of you have gotten that or that assignment, all those teachers building up and they expect you to work during your time off. What do you get? You get angry. Why? Because you feel it's unjust to work during a break. When you witness things like school shootings, violence on the news, hear about families ripped apart, you get even more angry, right? Why? Because you see the injustice and the violence in that. It's something to be angry about. And here's the question that we need to answer. Is my anger justified or is it unjustified? Like, in other words, is my anger unrighteous or is it righteous? There's another psalm, Psalm 4, and it says, be angry and do not sin. Paul quotes this psalm in Ephesians 4. And it implies that there actually is a way to be angry in the right way, believe it or not. I believe Psalm 58 gives us a resource on being angry in the right way. It starts with David asking, do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No. So what's he saying here? When David refers to gods here, he's not, notice the lowercase g. Like, he is not referring to the existence of other gods in the universe. He's referring to the people who serve in the place of God in this world. Like leaders, to the leaders that were meant to care for those that they lead, but instead are oppressing and are hurting. and attacking them. This makes David angry. And the question is, what does David do with this? What does he do with this anger? And so there are really two categories that describe our response to the anger that we feel. Unrighteous anger and righteous anger. So that's how I want us to look at this today. First, let's examine what does it look like to be angry in the wrong way? What is unrighteous anger? So the other day when my son, he had a hole in his pants. And Val was like, Davis, we need to just throw those pants away. And so I grab the pants and sort of jokingly, I take the hole and I just like rip it like up the seams. And then I just go throw it away. And Wynn thought it was hilarious. So Val and I, after going through, I obviously shouldn't have done that, because now anytime there is a tiny hole in Wynn's pants, he takes his pants and he just rips them open. And so Val and I, after going through several pants of his, we've started like really getting on him and punishing him when he does this. And so the other day I walk into the living room and I look down and there's a giant hole in Wynn's pants. And I look at him and I'm like, Wynn, we have told you, you cannot do this. You deserve a consequence. And he said, Daddy, it wasn't me. It was my hand. He was like, I tried to tell my hand to stop it, but it wouldn't do it. It just kept ripping the hole. And when it comes to anger, this is essentially what takes place when we respond unrighteously. Like, we let anger control us and move us in ways that God does not intend and does not want. That when you get that signal or that tiny hole in your pants, the action becomes to first pause and ask the question, is this something that makes God angry? Like, is this anger actually justified? When I'm working at my house and my kids are running around or screaming or wanting me to play with them instead of me actually being able to work, the anger I feel, I get angry. The anger is there. And acting out myself or screaming and saying I can't right now, that's unrighteous anger. It's ripping the hole in my pants, making it bigger, letting the anger get control. And the primary diagnostic for often determining what is righteous anger and what is unrighteous anger is selfishness. Like, we often want life to go how we want it. We want things to be easy for us. And when people and things get in the way of that, we get angry, which often leads to three unrighteous responses. Like, number one, we seek to limit others. This is that anger that comes in your group projects when the other person doesn't do what you want or how you think is best. So you suppress their actions by getting them to do it how you want, or you take control, like you limit their choices or actions because of the way you are angry about how you want things to go. You're unable to deal with just the vulnerability of not being in control, and it leads to limiting the actions of others. Or number two, you seek to control others. Like, perhaps instead of limiting what someone does, you take matters into your own hands. Like, I'll just do it the right way. I'll make sure I control the situation. So you have a group of friends, for instance, and you notice you're being left out. You know, you're left out of group hangouts. And in an attempt to control the situation, you respond by making sure you will do whatever you can to be included. Maybe you do certain things that let them see that you're cool enough to be with them. Or you obsess over the ways that you can get their attention. Now, we often don't think that that's anger, but it actually comes from a place of being angry over a perceived injustice of not being included. And it causes you to respond in all kinds of ways. And instead of dealing with the vulnerability of that, the sadness that happens there, you do whatever you can to consume what you think it is you need in order to survive. But finally, we condemn others. Like, when you're attacked, often the very first response is to attack back, right? When you're gossiped about, often it leads you to gossip about those who gossiped.
when you are mistreated, often it leads to wanting those others to suffer and to mistreat them. The fullness and flourishing you desire is being threatened. So in order to get that, others need to pay. Some of you do this with yourself. Like, your response to your anger has not been to condemn others as much, but to actually hate yourself. Like, if only I was better looking. I'm angry over how I look, and it keeps me from experiencing fullness of life. So I despise myself. Or I can't get past this one thing or this one struggle I have. So I will condemn myself and beat myself up over and over again because of the anger that I experience. This leads to depression, despair, at its worst, even suicide. Like, the anger I feel is not even worth being here. And all of this is a response to anger, to wanting to take matters in your own hands, to wanting to take the justice that you feel like you deserve. We limit others' choices, we control others, we condemn others. Because the anger shows us how selfish we actually are and how much we will do to get what we think we really need. So where do we go from here? What is a righteous way to deal with anger? What is righteous anger? How do we get angry and not sin, as it says in Psalms 4? So let's look at Psalm 58 a bit more. First off, we notice at the beginning of the psalm, the things that David is angry about here. In verses 1 and 2, he notices that there is oppression and wickedness being done by the people that should be protecting and serving and loving the people that they have been given. And they're not. David is not angry because of some sort of personal strife. He's angry because he knows that things are not the way they're supposed to be. That when it comes to righteous anger, this is the question we ask. Is this anger over the things that actually make God angry? What makes God angry? Every injustice. Every injustice. Like, anything that violates his design for life, it makes him angry. For instance, when you get angry because maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't meet certain needs that you feel entitled to, whether it's sex or whether it's just attention or time, does God get angry about that? I would say no. That's actually not that is not something that violates his design for life. But when you get angry because you were in a household with an abusive dad or have been abandoned by people that should have protected you, does God get angry about that? Absolutely. He hates what sin and brokenness has caused, and he is working actively to take it away for good. Which means that one of the ways to have righteous anger is to continuously learn what God declares to be an injustice. What does God find good? What does God find wicked? It should cause you to take pause when you feel angry and first go to God with it. Which is what we've been talking about in the Psalms. Like, our emotions force us to look at not others primarily, not ourselves, but perhaps the most important starting place for us is to go to God and ask, what makes you angry? Show me. Am I righteous in feeling angry? Is this something that I actually need to repent of? Because this is what David does with his anger. He goes to the Lord. This is him screaming at God, not others. He names it. And where does it lead him? Notice the next verses in 3-4. David recognizes where wickedness comes from, actually. Like, it comes from the place of birth. It comes from humanity being born in sin. This is the description he gives. The wicked being is estranged from the womb, which means that our righteous anger should lead us to humility. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian theologian, and he suffered during the time of the Nazi occupation, and he was tortured in a concentration camp as a Christian in Nazi Germany. And so if anyone knows about anger, it's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he said this in one of his letters: "Nothing we despise in the other man is entirely absent from ourselves." Bonhoeffer, who I would say had every bit of righteous anger at the Nazis, reflected that this anger that he experiences leads him to the humility that there are so many things also within himself that give God the right to have anger at him. Righteous anger leads us to humility. But number two, righteous anger leads us to hope. Like, look at verses 6-9. Now, these verses can feel really uneasy, can't they? Like, I just talked about how when we have unrighteous anger, we seek revenge and condemnation. And upon reading this, you could have the takeaway that this is what David is doing, right? So just a couple things to note. For one, notice that David is going to God with this. He's not going to them. He's not taking matters into his own hands. He is not the one who is going to break the teeth of the wicked. He is not the one who is going to make his enemies dissolve into slime. Just a crazy way to phrase that. Like, this is vivid imagery. This is poetic language that is directed at God, which is interesting. These are verses that are an example of what is known of imprecations, also known as cursings. And he's sharing with God cursing that he is experiencing in his heart. And when you feel those things at others, isn't it amazing that God actually invites you to share all of that within your heart to him? Those things you feel, those cursings you have that are there, you can, one, either take it out on others. Two, you can take it out on yourself, curse yourself. Or three, you can do as David does, which is cry out to a God who hears you with every bit of what is inside you. It's there because God can handle it. David is giving an example of that. But two, these verses, believe it or not, is a representation of David hoping. Why do I say that? He's hoping in a God through his anger. He is shouting and begging for God to do as God says he will do, which is be just. Like, if you believe in a just God, it means you can go to him and say these things to him because you actually believe in him. I think David has the courage to go to God with this anger because he knows who God really is. He knows that he's a God of justice. He doesn't have to take justice into his own hands. This represents a man who has much faith in a God who will be just, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if it's slow, even if it doesn't play out how we think it will. So we can go to him with these cursings even, which shows that having righteous anger and taking it to God is a way that you practice faith more, not less. Like, so many of you feel like you can't be angry. And one of the ways you can actually practice faith is going to a God who listens to your anger. It's what's going on right here. That anger you feel about the injustice done to you by the people that you thought loved you. It takes faith to feel angry and go to God with it. Because in doing this, you are seeking to experience the hope that God is who he says he is. Like, he is a God of justice. He's a God who is making all things new. Do you believe that? He's restoring all the wickedness and sin that have entangled us. There was a Christian man in the Congo in the early 1990s. And he experienced, there was a civil war going on in the Congo. And he became a refugee and escaped the Congo and went to Uganda. And upon trying to escape the Congo, he witnessed his family members hacked to death with a machete. And every bit of his belongings were taken from him. And he experienced immense poverty. And he decided to enroll in a Bible class in Uganda, and he told his teacher, "I could never trust in God if it wasn't for judgment. This is key for making the Christian message actually good news to me. It's good news to trust in a God who is dealing with injustice. And it's good to go to God with that." But finally, we've examined how we can have both righteous anger, unrighteous anger. We've looked at ways we respond to anger, often in unrighteous ways, honestly. And looked at how David responds through humility, taking it to God, even with very vivid, real, raw imagery here. But is there any action we do take when it comes to anger? When you do experience injustice, and it is good to be angry about that, how do we act righteously in that? And notice verses 10 through 11. They say, "The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked." Again, very vivid, vulgar imagery. "Mankind will say, surely there is a reward for righteous. Surely there is a God who judges the earth." Romans 12 says this, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Now, this sort of leaves us in a pickle. Like, if we just understood that as David is suggesting, that wicked are estranged even from birth, and that includes us in many ways, then how do we expect true justice to be done to the wicked, which includes us? Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, he was approached by an angry citizen who was upset with him over allowing, quote unquote, the enemies of the South to join the Union. "They should be eliminated," she said. And Abraham responded, "Madam, do I not eliminate my enemies by making them my friends?" And on the cross, Jesus, with every bit of righteous anger towards sinners that continuously make themselves his enemy, instead took every bit of the wrath that God had upon himself in order that those very enemies would become his friends. The way that God chose to have vengeance was not to point it at you. It was instead to take out his vengeance upon himself through Jesus. This is what happened on the cross. Like, you and I could experience true life and flourishing. The best way to deal with your anger at someone who has oppressed you is to trust in the vengeance of a God who is just, which frees you to actually love your enemy. I'll close with this. There was an NPR story several years ago about a man named Daryl Davis. Great name. And Daryl Davis, he owns over 200 Ku Klux Klan, however you say that. He owns over 200 robes at his house. Now, here is what is interesting about that. Daryl Davis is an African-American man. And over the past 30 years, he has intentionally asked KKK members to have lunch with him and get to know him. And he eats with them. And he forms friendships with them. And over time, those people who have been guided in hate and anger over racism have recognized that they actually love Daryl Davis. And their hatred was misguided. And over the years, over 200 people have given Daryl Davis their robes as a way to show that they have changed their hatred of him. So some of you may be here today and are not Christians. That is okay. I'm glad you're here. And you have been angry over a lot of injustice that actually is probably very warranted. And sometimes this anger has been over those that proclaim the name of Jesus. And with your anger, here's what I say to do. Look to the cross, because there you will see a God who chooses to meet you and befriend you and love you. You want to deal with your anger? Give God your robe. Go to him. Like, others of you are Christians, and you're still overcome with and wrestling with anger. Over anger, like righteous anger of things been done to you or things that you can't control. And here's what you can do. Rest in the God who is dealing with all the injustice that you have experienced and has dealt with it by taking out his vengeance on Jesus. And perhaps that will actually free you to move towards those, like Daryl Davis, and attack with anger, or attack anger with love, because it's God's taking care of it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your whole word, especially hard passages, passages that we wrestle with and are confused by. Thank you for a time that we can come together and explore that together. I pray that you would be with all of us, especially in those moments of anger. Help us to wrestle, and primarily wrestle with you. Help us to have the courage to go to you with our anger, and that we will experience a God of love and mercy and justice, of a God who looks at us and says, I am dealing with it. Trust me. God, I pray we can trust you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.